All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to ask you, out of love and respect, and also to stretch your legs and get your blood flowing before we go to the message, would you stand with me, please? And I'm going to read here, if you would follow along these few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody have a Bible to look on? Amen. Verse 1 says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yea, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool." That's a good idea, right? I shall not be a fool. "For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Verse 9 says again, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." I want to preach to you for a little while this morning on the all-sufficient grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we are here this morning on purpose. We love our church family. We love our brothers and sisters. We love being together in the assembly of the saints. We love singing. We love fellowship. We cheerfully love to give to you, knowing that you bless and give back to us. But Lord, we also love you above all else, with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. We love you, Lord. We are here because we thank you. We give you the credit, glory, the honor for anything good in our lives. Now, for a few minutes, Lord, we come to this time of preaching, expounding, just opening up this precious book. We pray that you would open it up and open our understandings to hear it and understand it. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Speak, Lord, for today thy servants are listening. We need you. We pray for your Holy Spirit to give perfect liberty. Cast down and cast out anything, God, that would stand and oppose your word and your power. Pray for your grace now to be real and manifested in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. The all-sufficient grace of God. I want to say to you this morning, God's grace is enough for anything and everything you will face in this life.
That's right.
We have here today in this book of 2 Corinthians, God's inspired words spoken through the mouth of the Holy Ghost, but also using this holy man of God, Paul the Apostle, as he was moved by the Holy Ghost. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he tells us here in this scripture that he was given an advantage over the rest of us. Now think about this. He was allowed to see heaven before he ever went there.
Amen.
Now, we read about it, and I think maybe if you are at all interested in heaven, you've probably at least thought about it.
Amen.
You've probably even closed your eyes and dreamed a little bit about it. Desire to be there, looking forward to being there, amen, at least that, right? Amen. Looking forward to that beautiful, wonderful house, mansion that God has prepared for us in the heavens, not built with hands, amen, built by His own hands. We look forward to those the days of victory, final victory over all sin, all sorrow, all sadness, and all worldliness. We look forward to that day, but Paul got to see it. Paul the Apostle, he says he got to go see it. I would say, and maybe if you agree with me, you might envy him a little bit. I kind of do. I wonder now. I know that what the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight, and the just shall live by faith. And understanding though, but he got to see it early. He got to see it ahead of time. And I don't know if that affected him and that made him more faithful. I have to believe it did. But the truth is, the Bible says, listen now, the Bible says that what we have here in the Scriptures is just as true, just as right as seeing it with our own eyes. One day our faith will become sight. It will. But I wonder if people's lives would be any different if they got to see heaven for just a glimpse, just a little minute, just a peek behind the curtain. I wonder if your life would be any different. I think maybe it probably would. I sure hope so. But Paul got to see it, but then he got a gift as a result. As a result of seeing these abundant revelations, as a result of hearing these unspeakable words, he received a gift from God. You think, wow, that was the gift. No, the gift was he was given a thorn in his flesh. Yeah. The Bible says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation." Abundance of the revelation, that means a whole lot. An abundance of, that means a whole lot. You know, if you have an abundance of money, you've got a lot. Now, I don't know, but that's what I hear anyway. That's what the word means. If you have an abundance of problems, that means you have a lot. Yeah. I can relate there, amen. If you have abundance of aches and pains in your body, you understand? It's a lot. He got to see a lot. Amen. But he was also, because of it, he says, there was given me given to me as a gift, right? Isn't that what you do with a gift? Sure. There was given to me as a gift, what a blessing, a thorn in the flesh. This means that he had to live with a permanent, and notice, painful physical disability.
Right.
Some type of physical disability. The word, it says, it was the messenger of Satan, in verse 7, to buffet me. The word buffet means to punch with the fist. That's what that word means. To punch with the fist. In Mark chapter 14, 65, let me read to you. Speaking of Jesus, some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him.
Yeah.
They covered our Savior's face and they punched him with their fists.
Yeah.
And they said unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hand. They punched him and they slapped him and they buffeted him. This is the same word that the Apostle Paul uses here now in verse 7, saying, because I got to see heaven, because I got to hear things that I could not repeat, I'm now buffeted. I am now beaten physically every day. So I don't know that I envy him necessarily anymore. I'll get to go to heaven when it's time, and I don't have to do all that on the way.
Yeah.
But I just use that to help us understand. Paul was not literally being punched in the face, punched with a fist, but the meaning was, listen now, he was suffering pain daily.
Yeah.
Now, a punch in the face is a big pain. It's a throbbing pain. It's a pain that you cannot ignore.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've ever been punched in the face, but I'm here to tell you, when somebody punches you in the face, you don't just ignore it.
That's right. Amen.
You don't get to just act like it didn't happen. You know it happened. And it's not something that you forget about very quickly.
Amen.
And it's not something that you enjoy.
Amen.
Unless you're some kind of sicko.
Yeah.
But I promise you, Paul was not enjoying it. He says it was a messenger of Satan to hurt him and to keep him in pain.
Yep.
Now, stay with me this morning. I want you to notice also the wording in verse 7, the messenger of Satan. In the angel, in the Bible, an angel is a messenger.
Right.
So this was literally an angel of Satan, or a demon, a devil, an unclean spirit, an evil spirit in his flesh, to buffet him, to give him great pain every day, pain that cannot be ignored, pain that cannot be overlooked or forgotten. Every day. I don't think I envy him so much anymore.
Amen.
Verse 9 tells us, not only was it painful, but it also made him very weak. He says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So not only was it pain, but you know, when you suffer pain like that every day, physically, you're going to become weak. You're not going to be strong, stout. You're going to be weak. Not only weak, but hurting, pain. It's causing physical weakness. He used the word also in verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. See, he's drawing us a picture here of what's going on. He says, I'm physically weak. I'm physically in pain every day, and also the word infirmity is a word meaning a disease that causes feebleness and sickness. I mean, frail, puny. And this is something that, listen, that he is going through every day. Now, I want you to understand something, that God allowed Satan to hurt God's own man.
Yeah.
For one reason. To keep him humble.
Yes. Amen.
Now, understand something. God's not going to work this way with everybody, but I'm laying all this groundwork so we understand. This was a real problem. This was a real painful problem.
Amen.
I look out here today and I don't, none of us have this problem.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Exactly right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. But you know, the point is this. God allowed this to this. He even allowed an angel of the devil, a demon, to buffet him in his flesh and give him physical pain. And I don't want to feel sorry for the Apostle Paul, but I want to look at the solution here, because this physical problem is greater than any of ours.
Amen. Yeah.
And can I tell you, this was also a spiritual problem, because when you're weak and you're diseased physically and you're in pain physically, you struggle and you suffer. If you've ever just been sick for a while, you struggle and you struggle just to stay right with God, to stay positive, to stay upbeat, to stay faithful.
Amen.
Come on, I mean it's just reality.
Right. Amen.
When your body's down and out, many times your mind and your spirit and everything follows.
Amen.
But I don't want to preach to. I want you to see the reality. This is a real serious problem that he suffered with. But notice what the solution was. He says in verse 9, God said unto me, my grace, God's grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace was enough. God's grace was all that he needed. God's grace was everything to him, and everything that he was going through, the grace of God was greater. The grace of God was more sufficient, more than enough to help him keep going.
Amen.
Now, it begs the question, doesn't it? So what's our excuse?
Yeah.
Amen. Let me just give you a few thoughts this morning. I won't be long, I promise you. You'll be out of here before you know it. Paul had done nothing wrong to deserve this. Isn't it just like us? And we're all the same. We're all from the same seed of sin. We're all related, whether we like it or not.
That's right.
We're all from the same loins of Adam.
That's right. Amen.
But isn't like us, when we go through something like this, even for, we always think, Oh, Lord, what did I do? What did I do? God, why are you punishing me like this? Understand something. Do you think Paul had anything to do with going up and seeing heaven? He couldn't do that on his own.
That's right.
He couldn't control. I mean, that was God taking him up to heaven, showing him those abundant revelations.
Uh-huh.
And hearing those. So, Paul, this wasn't chastening. This wasn't God's punishing or correct. This was God simply keeping Paul humble.
Yeah.
Because see, when God goes, when you go through something like this, even if it's for a short time, listen to me, dearly beloved, this morning, it doesn't mean always that sin is the problem, that you're a mess, that you're... understand something. If it is, that's different. I'm not talking about that. But if it is, either way, whatever God gives us... Remember, this is a gift from God. He allowed Satan to do it, but God was the one in control. You remember Job, don't you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Job, Satan said, Job, I'm looking for somebody I can devour. And God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And Job's down here saying, thanks a lot, God.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad Job didn't hear God say that? God's telling Satan, have you considered Job over here? He said, of course I've considered Job, but I can't get through that hedge you've got there. I can't get around that barrier you put up. If you let me in there, I promise you, I'll get him and he'll turn his back on you in a heartbeat. And God said, no, he won't. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lower that hedge, let you in. You can take everything, but you can't take his life.
That's right. Amen.
Satan went in there, took all of his kids, took all of his money, eventually took his health. He had boils from head to toe. All of his kids were gone. His wife was bitter and angry, and he was hurting physically, just like Paul. And he went through a whole lot of things. He had friends. Don't you love friends like that? Who needs enemies? He had friends that were trying to comfort him, help him, but all they were doing was accusing him because they were certain that it was Job's fault. They were certain that it was Job's sin. They were certain that God was punishing Job, and all along we know what's happening. Job's saying, what are you talking about? All I'm trying to do is serve the Lord. And in the end, we find out that it was not Job's sin, or it was simply God's proving to the devil that you can't have Job because he really will be faithful to me. You see, Paul did not allow this, but God had to humble him so he could continue to use him.
Amen.
Paul didn't deserve this. Paul didn't cause this. He didn't bring this upon himself. Number two, secondly, quickly, Paul had lived like this now for 14 years.
Yeah.
Look, it says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14, more than 14 years. Now, understand what I just said? 14 years. This was not a quick, temporary disease. This was not something that you could throw a pill at or a surgery at. This was something that God said, no, this is going to be with you, your life. It kind of makes me embarrassed when I saw that. As I was studying this, I was ashamed of myself. Because 4 hours of something hard, and I start thinking, oh, God. I know y'all sit there like you're tough, but you know what I'm talking about. 4 hours. 4 days. Oh, man, 4 days. Lord, I can't do this anymore. Let's go for 4 weeks. Lord, you are killing me. Oh, now, wait a minute. 4 months. Then 4 years. No, and then add 10 more to that. Years. That's kind of embarrassing how weak we are. If you're like me, and I hope maybe to some degree, you like to be used of God.
Amen.
You want God to take your life and do something good with it.
Amen.
I mean, can you at least agree to that? Something,
yeah,
something good with me, God.
Yeah.
Do something good with my life.
Yeah.
Don't let my life just be a total waste.
Right.
You saved me, God. I'm going to heaven, but Lord, do something. Use me a little bit while I'm here.
Yeah.
Lord, use me. Take my life and let it be thine, consecrated. Use me, God.
Yeah.
Let me be an instrument in your hand to do something good for your glory. God, understand something, and that's fine. God wants to, but He can't use us until we're fully submitted and completely consecrated to His hand. And you see, Paul didn't deserve this, humanly speaking. And he went through it for 14 years, over more than 14 years, as a result of God simply saying, I'm going to use you, son. I just want you to understand, it's me and not you. I want you to realize that I can use you as long as you stay humble. Next, just a couple of few thoughts and we'll be done this morning. This pain was a result of Paul being closer to God than anyone else alive.
Yeah. That's right.
Now let me say that again. This pain, this thorn, this throbbing daily pain that could not be ignored, that made him feeble and frail, that was a disease that he could not heal. God did not heal it. It was because, listen, it was because he had been closer to God than anybody else alive.
Amen.
He had seen things and heard things nobody else had ever heard. Now, I understand, I don't know. The Bible says he heard unspeakable words. I wonder whose words he heard. God's?
Amen.
Jesus? Maybe the angels? Maybe other saints that were already there? I don't know, but he heard unspeakable words. He saw abundant revelations. He had an advantage over everybody else alive. You understand? I mean, literally knowing. We too, though, think about this. We have an advantage today, don't we? Over Paul, even. We've got the complete canon of Scripture right here. We've got everything together from beginning to end. He did not have this.
That's right.
How many people today are alive today and they have no idea what's really going on? They don't have any idea what's going to happen in the end of the world. They don't have any idea who God is, why God died, who Jesus. I mean, they know about the stories, they've seen the movies, but they just don't, they don't have a clue. They don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to come. They watch, they look at Google to try to figure out when the world's going to end. That's their only thing they have. Because why? Because right here is the abundant revelation. Right here are the unspeakable words of God. Right here is everything God has. Listen, this is way more than Paul had.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
So we have an advantage over many people today also.
That's right.
I mean, you know, the average church today, we're right now, they're having church, but they're telling stories and dancing and entertaining each other. And then going home. But listen, this is the revelation of God. These are the words of God that we have an advantage because we at least want to look into these things and see what really is, what's God all about? What's this heaven thing all about? Well, how are we going to get there? Well, understand something. We have an advantage. We have abundant revelations, humanly unspeakable words. These are God's words right here. Millions of our brothers and sisters in Christ, millions of brothers and sisters in Christ have suffered and even given their lives because of this book.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
The abundant revelations and the unspeakable words of God.
Amen.
I can speak them, but you understand something? They're God's words. I dare not ever try to make them out to be mine.
Amen.
Praise God for this precious book. You understand something? So when something happens that maybe humbles us, we need to realize, because God's given us a great advantage.
Right.
Many, many, many other generations before this Bible was completed, they didn't have this. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? They didn't have this. They didn't understand everything. All they knew was they were following God.
Yeah.
Their faith. We talk about blind faith today. No. Our faith is not blind. We have everything from beginning to end right here.
That's
We know how it ends. But there are many other generations before us that had nothing like this. And we need to understand, they died. They suffered and bled and gave their lives, burned at the stake. They were not afraid to give their lives for Jesus Christ. Amen. We just need to realize, if God brings something on us to humble us, we need to be thankful. It's because we've been given abundant revelations.
Amen.
I know that's not hooting and hollering and preaching right there. Nobody wants to suffer for Jesus anymore. But when God brings something into our lives, listen to me, it's because He trusts you.
Yes.
He trusted Paul.
Yes, He did. Amen.
He knew he wasn't going to quit.
Amen.
I want God to trust me.
Amen.
I want God to say, you know what, just like He did tell Satan, have you considered my servant? Pastor Fogg?
Amen.
It's hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you considered my servant? I'm not going to put your name in there because then you're going to hate me. But think about that. Yeah. Can God say that about us?
Amen.
I mean, I know we say amen, but can He really say that about us?
Amen.
I want Him to be able to.
Amen.
Why? Because I want to please Him. Because I want Him to know that He can trust me. Because He has given me a great advantage over many other generations. He's given me a great advantage. He brought me up in a home of a preacher. He allowed me to be around this book my whole life. You're in church today because God's given you a privilege and advantage to have a book, to have abundant revelations, unspeakable words of God. He's given you much, much, much more than many other people in many other countries.
Amen.
They don't even have a Bible in their language. Paul said, I've been given an advantage, but also God's keeping me humble. I think we need to be aware of the fact that we too have many advantages in America. We ought to be willing to say, God, if you want to keep me humble, understanding I don't want to go out and sin and bring it on myself, but if I'm just serving you, Lord, doing what you want me to do, you keep me humble, Lord, so you can keep using me. I want you to be able to trust me.
Yeah.
Next thought this morning, if God's grace was sufficient for this kind of problem, it's certainly sufficient for all problems.
Amen.
That's really the message today.
Amen.
If God's grace was sufficient for that kind of disease, for that amount of time, I know God's grace is all sufficient for all things. See, God's grace is not limited to one Christian. God's grace is not limited to one man. God's grace is not limited to one person. God's grace is sufficient for all people. God's grace is sufficient for all problems. God's grace is sufficient for all generations. God's grace is not limited by any time period or any type of problem. We have a God in heaven whose grace is sufficient for all of our needs.
Amen. That's right.
His strength is available to all of His children. No matter what we're going through, you're not going through it without the access to God's grace.
Amen.
Can I say something to you? There's no other way Paul would have made it.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
There's no other way you will make it.
That's right.
Amen.
There's no other way, sister. There's no other way, brother.
Right.
There's no other way. Do you really think in his situation, in his condition, that he could have gone through and finished any other way? Absolutely, absolutely not.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
This world, the things that come upon us are real, and they do hurt. And they may not be 14 years long, but they may be, and they may be longer. I understand some of you are going through trials you've been going through for many, many, many years. Can I understand something? You're not going to make it without God's grace.
Amen.
That's right.
You're not going to make it without God's grace.
Amen.
But thank God that in God's grace, We have all things. All sufficient for all needs, for all problems, for everything we ever go through. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. I don't know if it is or not, but I'm telling you, if you'll listen this morning, God's grace is everything we need. But listen, without it, we will not make it. It's all that we must run to it. We must cleave to it. We must long for it. We must understand it's everything. It's all sufficient for every need.
Amen.
But I want you to understand something. God's grace did not change the problem.
That's right.
God's grace didn't even take it away.
Amen.
Look at me now. I'm trying to help you see. These are just simple thoughts, but God's grace did not take the thorn away.
That's right.
God's grace did not take the pain away. God's grace did not take the problem away. Now understand, but it gave Paul the strength to face the problem.
Yeah.
It gave Paul the strength to fight on.
Amen.
See, God's grace, verse 9, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. God's grace is strength in weakness, folks. So what is God's grace? Really, what God's grace is God's strength.
Yeah.
God's grace is God's strength. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
What is God's grace? God's grace is God.
Amen.
Understand, God's grace is God.
Amen.
This book, the Holy Spirit, God's grace is God's presence, God's power, which gives us God's strength to face any problem we have.
Amen.
You got to believe that. You've got to believe that. There is no other way. You are not going to go through this life without the problems. But thank God, because of God's grace, you can finish this life right.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to notice God's grace is God's strength in weakness. And then it says, verse 9, most gladly, therefore, at the middle of the verse, will I rather glory in my infirmities, notice, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, God's grace is strength in weakness, and strength in weakness, listen now, is through the power of Christ.
Sure.
Right. In other words, I'm summing up by saying this, God's grace is only accessible through Christ.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Amen. You see, some of you are here this morning, and you don't have any idea what I'm talking about when it comes to God's grace.
Uh-huh.
Sounds good to go through and be able to make it through all those problems and be able to be strong like that when I'm hurting. Boy, I don't want to hurt all that, but listen to me. There's only one way to that grace, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, the gift of God is eternal life, but the gift of God along with that is eternal grace. The gift of God is eternal hope and strength, and it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The power of Christ is the grace of God, is the presence of God. That's what we need. Oh my dearly beloved, listen to me this morning. That's what we must have. That's what the only way we're going to finish. That's the way we're going to keep going, but it's only accessible through Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way to this grace. I am the truth about this grace. And I am the life that this grace gives. No man cometh unto the Father for this grace, but by me. But by Jesus. Through Jesus. See, I remember the day I got saved, and ever since that day, I've been saved.
Amen.
Ever since that day, I've been alive in Christ. My sins have been forgiven. My home is forever settled in heaven. You understand? I'm not going to die and go to hell.
That's right. Amen.
But ever since that day, I've also realized that there's still things that come in life that hurt. Physically, emotionally, pain.
Yeah.
Like somebody's beating me up. Can I get a witness? Like somebody's beating me up.
Yeah.
But yet there's nobody there. But somebody's beating me up. And I realize that although I'm born again, I'm saved, I have my home, heaven is my home, I'm never going to go to hell. I understand that there's still times of buffeting. It pain that I can't ignore. Pain that doesn't just, I can't run from it. I can't hide from it. And but because of Christ, I have access to God.
Amen.
And His grace.
Yeah.
On my weakest days, on my knees, in my weakness, I go to God. Because of Christ, listen to me, teenagers. Because of Christ, I go to God in heaven, who gives me the grace that I need to keep going. And not that it takes away the problem. It gives me strength, though, to keep going in spite of the problem.
Amen.
Now, if you're not saved this morning, you don't have access to this grace.
That's right.
You're still going to hurt.
That's right.
You're still going to have all kinds of weakness.
Right.
You're still going to feel like somebody's beating you up, and because He is. But you're not going to have grace to run to. You're not going to have grace to give you strength. You have got to have Christ first.
Amen.
First. For those of you who are saved, can you say amen right there?
Amen.
I've got Jesus. I know I have access to. But listen to me. You're here this morning. You don't have Christ. You're not saved.
That's right.
Pay attention up here, please. Up here. Up here. You're not saved.
That's right.
Today's the day, however, you can walk out of this building.
Amen.
With Christ in your heart.
Amen.
And you can know for a fact from this point on that the power of Christ, the grace of God, the strength of God in all of my problems, in all of my pains, in all of my heartaches, in all of my weakness, it doesn't matter. The grace of God is all sufficient and available to me through because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all bow our heads this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around, please. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the message. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you would please speak to hearts this morning, right now. Lord, I know that some people are going through many, many things, heartaches, burdens. And Lord, it's a true hurtful situation. They feel like, Lord, that somebody is just literally bearing down on them and beating them up, trying to make them quit. But Lord, help them to realize that's not what's going on. You're trying to make them run to you. You're trying to make them run to your grace. You're trying to make them humble so you can use them and grow them stronger in your grace, in your power, in your might. Lord, I pray this morning for your people to understand that your grace is all sufficient for all problems, all needs. I pray for those this morning here, Lord God, who are not saved. Lord, that you would get a hold of their hearts. From the youngest to the oldest. Lord, there may not be any excuses. May you please bind the devil right now as we begin this invitation. Remove all distractions, God, please, from this place. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I'd ask you, please, no one looking around. Out of respect for everyone else, please keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. This morning, there's grace in heaven for you. There's grace of God for you. But you have to come through Christ first. I want to ask you this morning, you say, "Preacher, I know if I died right now, I know that I'd go straight to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I'm saved, and I know it. I'm going to heaven when I die. Without a doubt, if I died right now, I know I'd go straight to heaven." Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Thank you. Thank you. Please, you can put your hands down. Thank you very much. Please, no one looking around this morning, young people. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand this morning. Listen, I understand. I remember the day where I sat in church like you are. And boy, I don't remember what the preacher preached on, but I know one thing. I was lost. I knew I was not saved. And I knew that I wasn't going to heaven. And I was afraid, and I was scared, and I was ashamed. And I thought, "Well, no, I can't. No, I got to get out of here." No. That's not what you need to do. Thank God I didn't just get out of there. I was honest with God. I was honest with myself. And I admitted I need to be saved. And God gave me that day, He gave me Christ. He gave me His grace. He gave me everlasting salvation. I've never looked back. You say, "Preacher, I'm here today. I'm having all kinds of things, problems. I got home problems, money problems, health problems, school problems. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a mess." Listen, I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. There's grace sufficient for you. But you need to be saved first. You have to come to Christ. See, He died for your sins. He died on the cross to shed that blood we talked about earlier. To cleanse your heart from all. That's the only payment God will accept for you. You can't go to heaven just because you want to. You have to come through Christ. He was crucified. He was buried, but He rose again. Glory to God. He is alive forevermore. Right now in heaven, praying that you will come accept Him as Savior. He's waiting to save you. He's already done all the work. Quit trying to work your way to heaven. He's already done it all. Quit trying to pay your way. He's already paid it all. Say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. I know I don't want to go to hell. But I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven or not." Listen, nobody's looking around this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You can quietly slip up your hand right there where you sit and say, "Preacher, pray for me. That's all I want to do is pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. I'm not going to come tap you on the shoulder. I'm nothing like that. I'm not going to call your name. I just want to pray." Would you be honest with God this morning, young people? Would you be honest with God this morning, brothers and sisters? Would you be honest with those of you this morning and say, "I'm not sure. I've had enough of playing games. I need this grace, but where is it?" Well, maybe it's because you don't have Christ. This morning, can I pray for you? Would you quietly just slip up your hand right there where you sit and put it right back down? Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me." Would there be one like that? Would you slip it up? Thank you. I see that hand. There's another one this morning. Would there be another one? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I died if I go straight to heaven. Pray for me, please." How about you? Would you raise your hand? Would you be honest with God? I want to pray for you this morning. Is there another hand this morning? "I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven this morning. I want to pray for you." Would you be honest and raise your hand? You need that grace. You need that help. It's only through Christ. Can I pray for you this morning? Would there be one more? Just slip it up right there where you're at. Put it right back down. Thank you. I see that hand. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, You've seen the hands and You know the hearts. Father, there's so much grace available for all of us. Lord, it's an unlimited supply, all sufficient. Thank You, God, for that. Thank You, God, for that wonderful truth. Thank You for Jesus who gives us access. Now, I pray for these that raise their hand. Lord, they don't know that they're saved. They don't know if they're going to go to heaven. They don't have this grace. They hurt just like we do, but they have nowhere to go. Well, I pray You'd speak to their heart. I pray today, without delay, God, that they would come to Jesus. Oh, Father, please, do the work in their hearts, I pray. Don't let them leave without Jesus. Please bind the devil. Bind all the distractions, God. I pray for Your people that are here that are hurting. Again, please, God, help them to run to You. Help them to run to You for more grace. Help them to stop looking to the world and to the things of this old life. to the doctors and the medication, but God, to run to you, to run to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray.